let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's being called a paradigm-shifting new book that will change how Americans view recycling and the waste management process. A wake-up call that provides a clear path forward. Can I Recycle This? A Guide to Better Recycling and How to Reduce Single-Use Plastic by Jenny Romer is the first illustrated guidebook that answers the age-old question, can I recycle this? Many of us feel good about recycling our bottles and cans, doing our part to help the environment. Truth is, there's much we don't know about how recycling actually works until now. Jenny is a writer, lawyer, sustainability expert, working for years to help cities and states across America better deal with the waste we produce, helping draft meaningful legislation to help communities better process their waste and to produce less of it in the first place. Jenny is a legal associate for Surfrider Foundation's Plastic Pollution Initiative, and her knowledge is routinely sought by legislators, environmental nonprofits, and businesses across the U.S., and she helped author plastic bag bans in California and New York. Jenny Romer, author of Can I Recycle This? A Guide to Better Recycling and How to Reduce Single-Use Plastic, our guest on This Week in America. Jenny, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
There is so much to talk about. Let's start at the beginning of the book. You talk about in the book, Can I Recycle This? Right off the bat, that we all know this mantra, reduce, reuse, and recycle. We've gone by that for years, sort of routinely done that. But you say most of us remember recycle, which is true, but actually that's less important than reduction and reuse. Talk about that, because it appears we're focusing at the tail end of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really not by accident. The plastics industry has spent a lot of money on promoting recycling as the answer, because that kind of lets them go about their business as usual. But really what we want to be talking about more is reduction and reuse. And that's something, you know, that was something that we were taught back in the 70s, but we really still are concentrating way too much on recycling.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the plastic industries. I read an interview where you talked about beginning in 2020, things were going well. You were really optimistic. Then the pandemic hit, COVID-19. And talk about that, because you said we really took a giant step backwards and the plastic industry really took advantage of this.
Right. They really got out in front of the issue. When we were spending time, you know, trying to read the most recent studies and being very cautious, the plastics industry really jumped right in front of the issue and spent a lot of money on public relations, reaching out to journalists, trying to plant stories about how single-use plastics were the answer and how reusables could be, could be harmful and could be a spreader of the coronavirus. But we've seen that that really isn't the case. They even went so far as to send a letter to HHS, asking them to declare single-use plastic as better than reusable. Luckily, that didn't happen, but we do see a lot of influence and a lot of people being very cautious. But right now, we've seen the studies. Reusables really aren't spreading anything, and people just need to wash their reusables just like they would anything else. Their reusable bags, their reusable cups. But it took us about a year to get here. And so that really, there were a lot of delays at the in legislatures. Luckily, we didn't see rollbacks. That was something we were really concerned about at the beginning, was seeing rollbacks of existing laws. But luckily, a lot of legislatures just said, you know, let's put a pause and wait and see. So, you know, we're coming out of it. But I think, you know, it really delayed everything by about a year.
Jenny Romer is our guest on This Week in America. Jenny is J-E-N-N-I-E. Her book is Can I Recycle This? You'll find it wherever books are sold. A link on her website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jenny's website is jennyromer.com. It's interesting you talk about don't be a wish cycler. And when I think about that, I think we all are from time to time. We're not real sure, but let's hope it's we're doing something good and you throw it in the recycle bin. Talk about what exactly is a wish cycler.
So wish cycling is when you are pretty sure that something isn't recyclable, or even if it says it's not on your town's recycling list, and you put it in your recycling bin anyway. A lot of people do this because they think something should be recycled, and maybe think that if they put something in their bin, that their municipality will figure it out. But that's really not the case. Your municipality has already thought through what they want and why. So just give them exactly what they ask for, is one of my biggest tips. And certain things can make it even harder for other items to be recycled. So if you put a plastic carryout bag into your bin or something like, a garden hose, those things are tanglers and they'll get caught in the recycling machinery, and that facility will have to shut down eventually and spend time and money to take that out of all the different cogs in the machinery. So be a good recycler, don't be a wish cycler. And especially with things like lithium-ion batteries, rechargeable batteries, those can cause fires and explosions. So definitely never recycle those.
All of this information and answering your questions in the book, beautifully illustrated, by the way, Can I Recycle This? Book available wherever books are sold. The author, Jenny Romer, our guest on the program. Interesting, you mentioned what they want, why they want it, and this all comes back to commerce, doesn't it? If they can make some money with it, they want it. Basically, is that how that's determined?
Yeah, recycling is a commodities market. And so there are kind of two things happening there. One is sorting, and then one is end markets. So in my book, I look at what's collected, what's sorted, and does anyone want to buy it? What is collected can depend a vary a little bit depending on the philosophy of your local jurisdiction. So some jurisdictions just kind of take whatever or take they want to take a large volume of things, so they'll take more than what they actually have a market for. Others will only take things like, if for plastic, just number one and number two bottles and jugs. Those have a consistent buyer, so some places will only take those. And it'll also depend on what machinery they know they have in place for all the sorting. So follow your local jurisdiction. And my book looks a lot at the end market. So there are certain plastics that really no one wants to buy, that jurisdictions, even if they do all that collection and sorting, they end up having to pay someone to haul it away. So when you see the numbers at the bottom of your plastic containers,
Yes.
number one and number two, those are worth something. The bottles and jug versions are worth about, between $300 and $1,000, a ton. The HDPE, the number two, those milk jugs, those are worth the most on the market right now. But three through sevens, so that's kind of the rest of it. Those are only worth about negative $17 a ton. That means that your jurisdiction is having to pay someone to haul it away to landfill or incineration. So there's really a big difference in what type of plastic can be recycled and can't.
A lot of information that Jenny is giving us on the program. The good thing is it's all in the book. Can I Recycle This? So you can grab a copy of the book. It's beautifully laid out. Again, the illustrations are there. It's written in common language, so we understand what Jenny is telling us from years of experience being in the front line of fighting this battle. And it's interesting, and it's sad as you read that about a third of what we actually throw away that we think we're doing good actually can't be recycled. We really throw a lot away that really can't be recycled, don't we?
We do. And I will say, with the book, Christy Young is the illustrator.
Yes, beautiful job.
Beautiful watercolor illustrations. The book is meant to be approachable and gifty. So, I know I get into the wonky details of certain things, but I think it can appeal to a variety of people. So if you just kind of want to flip to a page and see what happens to a particular item, I cover 60 different items, you can do that, or you can kind of delve deep into the resin codes and things, depending on what you want to do.
It's all there depending on the level of recycler that you are. And it's interesting as we read too that again, a lot of what we do is motivated by trying to do the right thing, but what we do erroneously here does have an impact in other countries, doesn't it?
Right. And so I have one small chapter in my book is about the human impacts of recycling, and particularly shipping our low-value plastic waste abroad. And China is closed its doors to our low-value waste, but there's still other countries that are accepting it. And a lot of the time, that's not really, what we consider recycling as far as having real infrastructure to deal with this. A lot of the time in other places, laws really are not enforced, and there's dumping into the environment, dumping and burning of our low-value waste. And that's really not what we think of when we think of recycling. We want to see something turned into another item. And that happens, you know, just kind of items are or materials are cherry-picked, and that happens with some things in those places. But a lot of the time, the majority of it ends up in the environment.
As consumers, we're always looking for something that's environmentally friendly. And you talk about greenwashing, and there's always somebody out there that wants to take advantage of that. Talk about greenwashing and what we should look for and how we can not be taken advantage of.
Sure. And I think the book gives you some steps, like, so you know what happens at a recycling facility. So you can kind of have an eye out for greenwashing of recycling a bit more. And particularly for recycling, a lot of the time greenwashing occurs when an item can't really make it through the recycling machinery. So something like a fork or a plastic straw, those are really kind of awkwardly shaped, or something like a that's really small, like a salsa cup, is not going to, condiment cup, or isn't going to make it through. So if you see that advertised as recyclable, that's probably greenwashing to make you feel good about continuing to use that
Yes.
single-use plastic, or something like biodegradable plastic. In the US, there isn't a certification for something to be called biodegradable plastic. The Federal Trade Commission regulates greenwashing claims, and that's something that they keep an eye on. So look out for something being called biodegradable plastic. Compostable is kind of a different story. It needs to go to a composting facility. There's a little bit more regulation there. But overall, I say be very cautious in that area about greenwashing.
Jenny Romer, our guest on the program, Jennie Romer is Romer. Her book is Can I Recycle This? A Guide to Better Recycling. The book available literally wherever books are sold. I know, Jenny, you say if you've got a neighborhood independent bookstore, stop down there. You'll find a copy of the book, pick it up, and help them out in the end. And all this information is on Jenny's website as well, jennieromer.com. Link onto it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Just when you think you sort of have a handle on this, you end up moving. And if you go to even a different county in the same state, certainly a different state, all of a sudden the regulations have changed. Any effort, any talk about some standardization of what actually can be recycled?
Yeah, like I said, there are different philosophies. So a lot of the time, all of whatever is collected curbside is going to vary depending on where you are, depending on what machinery is available, depending on maybe your jurisdiction might be participating in a pilot project. So, you know, follow your local rules. But some places might want to accept as much as they can so that they get the larger volume and they can pick out more of the good stuff. And others might only want the good stuff. So that's going to be part of the variation. But there is some talk at the federal level, particularly with the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. That's a federal bill. It has over 100 co-sponsors now. There's been a lot of talk about it. I've been working pretty hard on that. And that does include some regulation, some more oversight and more harmonization of recycling
Yes.
programs. And particularly just making sure that recyclable and recycling mean something, because there is a push also by the plastics industry to have things like incineration to be called waste to energy and consider that recycling, or to have things be or to have shipping our low value waste abroad be considered recycling, or a newer technology that's kind of a plastic to fuel. And those things, you know, I don't consider those to be recycling. I want to see something, an item turn back into another item. And so that's something that we're also looking at the federal level to make sure that recycling means something.
You've been involved in a couple of bands, as I mentioned, and now active in the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. What's that like? You're on one side with science, and you can document what you're talking about, but you've got checkbooks on the other side. How frustrating is that, that you think you're making progress, yet you have to deal with the lobbyist?
Yeah, I've been working on this for over a decade. I started out in San Francisco right after law or during law school, and the plastics industry was spending a whole lot of money on pushing back on a plastic bag ban in San Francisco. I got involved. I started my own website at that time about just about plastic bag laws to get information out there because I saw that they were willing to spend. I saw a PowerPoint presentation trying to ra they were trying to raise $700,000 to spend in less than a year. on fighting local plastics laws.
Wow.
And so I thought, this is a big deal. And no one else was really organizing very specifically around that. So I kind of decided that I would be the expert. And now I am, particularly with plastic bag laws. But seeing the plastics industry with their talking points, with their very well-paid lobbyists on the other side, but it does, that is really frustrating. But it also, when there's a win, that win feels bigger, because we, from a grassroots perspective, we're able to do a lot with very little.
As someone who's been in the trenches for, as you say, over a decade now, are you optimistic? Are we going in the right direction?
Yeah, I think that, I just really we just released a map at the Surfrider Foundation of over 1,000 plastics laws that have been adopted in the US. And those are mostly bags, foam, foodware bans, and straws upon request laws. But those are just the beginning. So I see those kind of single item laws as a gateway to wider policy change. And so now, like you mentioned, we're talking about this at the federal level. Several states have bills pending. Washington State just passed laws recently that include things like recycled content requirements for containers, meaning that the new containers have to be made out of a certain percentage of the recyclables that you put in your curbside bins. We wouldn't be here if we hadn't started talking about all this a decade ago, and we've made a lot of progress. So I'm optimistic about the future, but I also know that the plastics industry is putting even more money into it. And they're really great at what they're good at what they do, unfortunately,
I was going to
for
say
me.
the better you are, the more money they can raise to be out there to try to thwart what you're attempting to do. Jenny Romer, our guest on the program, her book is Can I Recycle This? We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the misconceptions about recycling, some of the biggest mistakes we as consumers make. And we do that with Jenny after we continue on This Week in America after these messages. We're back. You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Jenny Romer, attorney, policy advisor, sustainability consultant, and author of the book, Can I Recycle This? A Guide to Better Recycling and How to Reduce Single-Use Plastic. Before we left, Jenny, I was talking about the common misconceptions about recycling. What are the common misconceptions that we as consumers have about recycling?
I think a lot of the time people think that the process is a lot easier than it actually is. People put things in their curbside bin and kind of think that they almost magically get turned into another item, and then they don't think about it very much.
Yes.
And like I said, the plastics industry has really spent a lot of money over decades on promoting recycling as this magical answer. And if people think that way, then they really pay very little attention to what they consume. And so that's what's happening right now. I think we've seen a little bit more after China closed its doors to our low-value recyclables. People talk about it a little bit more. But I would like to inspire more people to really, pay more attention to what recycling means. I think we've been taught to not really think too much about our waste and feel good if we put something in a recycling bin. But I illustrate in the book, I illustrate a state-of-the-art recycling facility and what happens there. So I'd like people to think, to be more involved with that, and particularly legislators. So I want to see legislators write laws that are based on what's happening on the ground at recycling facilities.
You know, it's interesting. When we started, we talked about recycling, and that mantra is last but first in our minds, and talking about how we really need to reduce our dependence on single-use plastics. How do we go about doing that? It seems like everything we pick up is plastic, something we drink out of, we used to eat, that holds our soft drink cans of bottles together. How do we break free of that?
Well, it's interesting you say break free. So Surfrider is part of the Break Free from Plastic global movement, and that is all the groups that are working on plastic reduction laws all over the world. And over the last decade, there have been so many groups that become part of this effort, because people really don't like to see the images of plastic pollution in the environment. But we've started with the single items, so those bags, the food, foam foodware, the straws, utensils a little bit now, but that only gets us so far. You know, that's something I've spent a lot of my life working on, so it's incredibly important. But the next step is really to look at what's on the grocery store shelves, because right now it's really hard to buy your food and your other personal care items without buying a lot of plastic.
Yes.
And I want to look. I want to push for refill and reuse systems, in addition to having effective recycling, meaning that we're having the items, you know, made out of things that we put in our curbside bins, but also refill and reuse systems that are easy. So not just that someone will go to a co-op and maybe buy granola out of a bin, but having it be really widespread where you can go to a grocery store, you can bring your own, you know, container and easily fill it up with things from your favorite brands. So because people like to, you know, buy their favorite brand of shampoo or cereal. And so we really need to have policies that encourage that and that incentivize businesses to make those capital investments so that we could do things like in Germany, most beer bottles and soda bottles come in refillable, reusable bottles. That's only really happening in Oregon in a pilot project in the US, but we really need a push to make that happen and make it easier for us to use refill and reuse.
Got about a minute or so left. At the end, you talk about personal solutions and policy solutions. It's interesting because you give us all of the problems and you give us some possible solutions. And you might have just touched on those. Personal solutions, what can we do? And maybe one thing is talking to our state legislators, our local politicians, to try to shout louder than the plastics industry.
Right. And so one thing that's happening in a lot of states right now is a push towards extended producer responsibility for packaging. And that means holding the manufacturers responsible for the cost of recycling and disposal of that packaging. So reaching out to your legislators saying that's an idea that you can get behind. And then also your local legislators who are still working on those single item bans as well.
From a policy standpoint, do you see things going in the right direction?
Yeah, I do, but I think we do need to hear a lot more from constituents. Your policymakers hear from lobbyists all the time, but they really do care about the people who elect them, the constituents. So the more you can reach out, the better. But I also talk about personal solutions. So, you know, bringing your own bag, bringing your own cup, and that really models behavior to other people as well.
The book, Can I Recycle This, is really laid out. It's reader friendly, isn't it? The way you've laid it out, again, with the illustrations that are so well done and the way you lay it out. You don't have to sit down and read it from cover to cover. You can actually go through, look at the things that impact you. What kind of feedback are you getting? Because now we finally have a guide that can help us answer the question we have at least once a week. Can I recycle this? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I'm getting great feedback, and especially from the recyclers, from your municipal recyclers, because you know, they try to communicate information about recycling all the time. But I think having the watercolors, making it pretty,
Yes.
and having it all in one place is really helpful. So that's great to hear, and hopefully we can really improve the system.
And the book is designed for everybody. If mom and dad are buying it, leave it out so the kids can take a look at it too and get them off on the right foot in doing recycling. The book is Can I Recycle This? A Guide to Better Recycling and How to Reduce Single-Use Plastic by Jenny Romer, our guest on the program. Jenny is Jennie. Book available at all of the usual places. Our website is jennieromer.com. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jenny, time has gone by quickly. A pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on the success of Can I Recycle This? And thank you for spending some time with us.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our guest on the program, Jenny Romer, Can I Recycle This? Her book information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.